This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
If that lion forms on the right base, not that Maggie's back in town. Look out, old Maggie's back.
Yeah.
Chris McMichael.
Sports Radio 101.
Yes, sir. 203 on the fan. McMonagle here with you. I got you for 3 hours until 5 a.m. at 888-808-1019. We got Fleegs on the other side. Rami's still hanging out. Taking your phone calls for the next 3 hours right here on the fan. We'll get to everything over the course of 3 hours. We got the Knicks ending a three-game skid. I spoke pretty much all show yesterday, a lot of the 5 hours on Gerrit Cole. We knew it was coming. We'll get to the ramifications for the New York Yankees, but I want to talk with the enthusiasm. And everybody is so excited and thrilled that Justin Fields is the next quarterback of the New York Jets, as it has been, you know, I guess reported. You can't even say announced. Free agency doesn't start for another 2 days. But Justin Fields is going to be the next quarterback of the New York Jets. We could stop spinning the wheel. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss spinning the wheel every day at 3. Because it's landed on Justin Fields at 2 years, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed. And I don't understand the overwhelming enthusiasm from Jets Nation on how wonderful a signing this is. Because let's be totally honest. Let's start with where we share some things that we agree on. And then I'll talk about why I disagree with the overall signing. First off, I do think, and I've been saying it for a while, making the playoffs is important for this team. I think having the drought of 14 years and, you know, going on 15, hanging over this team's head, where you got, you know, Jared Allen and former, you know, current Hall of Famers and former players just riffing off the top of their heads trying to come up with a losing franchise, and the Jets are the first name out of his mouth. Like, just everything that's hovering over this team, I think it's important to win this year. I think the roster's really talented. I still believe that. I believed it when Rodgers was here. I believed it last year. I'll believe it this year. I think the roster is actually pretty damn talented for the New York Jets. And I do think it's important to win this year. And of all the quarterbacks, of course, after Aaron Rodgers, who for me is still the best option, I think they would be better off today with Aaron Rodgers over anybody else, including Justin Fields. But outside of Aaron Rodgers, which they made that decision weeks ago, Justin Fields is probably the best quarterback option that we spun the wheel, right? I can't, you know, maybe Matthew Stafford, but that didn't come to fruition. I don't think even, you know, is Sam Darnold a better quarterback? Sure, but that wasn't going to happen for the New York Jets and give him, the $100 million contract. I wouldn't have seen that. This was as good an option for the New York Jets to win this upcoming season as there could have been. Great. That's just wonderful. But I've also called it a palate cleanser. And that's where we have the problem. That's where we have the problem. First off, let's just talk about how good, because I can't stop hearing about the dual threat that he is and the athleticism of a quarterback and how great it's going to be. Or the lottery ticket. I mean, the lottery ticket. You know what the thing about lottery tickets are? They don't hit. You ever hit a lottery ticket? You're hearing me right now. Did you ever actually win with a lottery ticket? Anything significant? Maybe there's like a handful of people out there. Lottery tickets lose 99.9% of the time. The idea that we're boasting, the first thing out of, and I respect the hell out of everyone I'm about to mention, but like, you know, I'm turning on SNY and there's Connor Hughes telling me, well, this is, you know, this is a lottery ticket. Evan, I'm listening in the afternoon. This is a lottery ticket. That's what we're hoping. This is the great thing about the signing. It's as good a lottery ticket. Lottery tickets don't win. Take that money, invest it in the stock market, and I know today was a bad day, but trust me, buy the dips. Lottery ticket, this guy, he's not very good. What over the course of his career, other than just straight up his athleticism? That's it. We're basing this lottery ticket on his age, his college career, and his athleticism. That's it, because I'm seeing dual threats. I've watched them play. The idea he's a dual threat. Dual threats are guys who can throw and then have the run element attached. That is not Justin Fields. Justin Fields is not, hey, he can throw the hell out of the football, plus he can run a little bit. No. That's a dual threat quarterback. Number one is throwing the football. And Justin Fields doesn't throw the football. Last year, I mean, do we think Mike Tomlin is a good head coach? Do we think Mike Tomlin does things counterintuitive to winning football games for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Because again, last year they had this lottery ticket on their team. This young, athletic quarterback on their team played the first six games of the year, went 4-2. And the second, Russell Wilson, who all of you will tell me is washed, who none of you will probably want for the New York Giants as we wait for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision, as that this is a better option than Russell Wilson, you know, for the New York Jets. Nobody else wants Russell Wilson. Pittsburgh's going to sign. You're hearing some of the rumors of the contract for what possibly Aaron Rodgers could get in Pittsburgh. They're going to sign an old man who couldn't win with the Jets last year to this kind of money to avoid Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, Russell Wilson, they went back to instead of Justin Fields. And as the season was collapsing at the end, as Russell Wilson was falling apart at the end of the year, not once did they consider going back to Justin Fields. Does it not tell you anything? Like, I get that it's the best plausible option, and I get, hey, maybe there's a 1 in a million chance that he finds himself with this defensive head coach and a first-time offensive coordinator, and maybe he finds himself and becomes this great, unbelievable player. Okay. I think this roster is good enough, and if the coach is who we think he is, and a legitimate head coach who will button things up, who will hold players accountable, who will actually get more out of the defense than what happened last year after firing Robert Saleh. Like, I think this roster is good enough. How many games did they win 2 years ago with Zach Wilson? They're going to win some games, right? And I want them to win games, and I talked about the idea that it's important to win games and possibly make the playoffs. And yes, out of all the crap options that were out there for the New York Jets, this might give them the best chance. But the problem is I don't see a real future with him. I also called it a palate cleanser. If you have Aaron Rodgers, like a legitimate veteran quarterback at the end of his career, who I think can still play, and I still think will give you better numbers than Justin Fields will give you. If you win with him, there's no fooling yourself into what the future promises. It's a one-year deal. It's a palate cleanse. And then you get some wins under your belt. You end this playoff drought. And then you go about building the franchise. Here's the problem with Justin Fields, who they gave, you know, $30 million guaranteed to. So right off the bat, he's your starting quarterback. Right? I don't think there's a debate with him and Tyrod Taylor. I don't think there's going to be a real competition between him and Tyrod Taylor. He's the quarterback. Tyrod Taylor's the backup. And then you go into the year. If you win 7, 8, 9 games, because you know what? The roster's good enough to do that. They did that with Zach Wilson. 2 years ago, they won 7, 8 games. with a legitimate head coach and the step up, which I'll admit it is a step up from Zach Wilson to Justin Fields, that should give you two wins alone compared to 2 years ago. Still not sure who he's throwing to exactly, other than Gary Wilson, his former teammate in college. I don't know who he's throwing to. And here's my issue, because if you get those wins, this franchise and this head coach are not going to look towards the future. You are going to give Justin Fields a contract moving forward, a la Daniel Jones, and it's going to end up costing this team the real chance of winning, because I do not believe Justin Fields is the type of quarterback who can sustain over the course of time with the Jets in this division with Josh Allen, who just won the MVP, who just signed a 6-year extension, who's one of, if not the best quarterback in the league, right there, obviously behind Mahomes. You have to be fair with the amount of championships he's won. And right there with Lamar Jackson, the two of them are kind of that next crop along with Joe Burrow. Like, that's in that division where you might have May stepping up, and you got already the Patriots poaching your offensive lineman and Morgan Moses, and seeing what they're going to do with their new head coach and their young quarterback and all the salary cap money they have in New England. Like, this is a tough division with one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL who's owned the division for the last 5 years staring at you, and Justin Fields doesn't cut it. At some point, the Jets are going to have to go make a move to get their franchise quarterback. And if you bring in Justin Fields and he wins you enough games and you don't make the playoffs, or even if you do, moving forward, you can't lock yourself into Justin Fields because he's athletic. Because again, you watch him play, he doesn't throw the football well. He won 4 out of 6 games for Pittsburgh. They moved on from him. And if you look at the overall situation of this Jets team, like, I'm not crapping on this deal for 2 years and $40 million. Is it the end of the world? If he's terrible, you move on from it relatively easy. It's not a bad contract. He's not a bad player. And listen, if you want to get excited about it, Jet fans, I hear you. Because it is of the slop, of the spinning of the wheel I did every day at 3 a.m. Is this the best option? Sure. Sure. I'm not even going to argue that. So ultimately, did the Jets make a good move here? They made about as good a move as they could once they made the dumb decision to move on from Aaron Rodgers. Once Matthew Stafford signed a deal with the Rams, this was about as good as you could hope for. But the enthusiasm behind it, like, this is a great move, and this is a lottery ticket, and he's a dual threat. Like, we've watched him in the NFL. We've seen him in the NFL. Now, some of the arguments, well, you know, Chicago didn't really just give up on him. They were, you know, they were so bad,
you know, with him at quarterback,
that they got the first overall pick. What are you going to, they traded, you know, they made a great trade with the Panthers and got the first overall pick, and they were staring one of these great prospects in the face. It wasn't like he completely failed. They were, you know, they moved on just because they got the first pick, and now, you know, he won some games with Pittsburgh last year. Like, the idea this is a great move, that the Jets have found or have an opportunity to have found their future quarterback, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. I do not think, I mean, you watch him play, and again, with an offensive line, me and Fleegs were joking about it, because I know how much we all obsess over the offensive line. You just lost Morgan Moses, and I'm telling you right now, watch Justin Fields' tape. He holds the ball forever. He is going to take bad sacks. He is going to hold the ball forever. And we are going to get the same calls over and over again. And people who think they, you know, who want to get one on me, particularly who is an Aaron Rodgers fan. Oh, you're telling me, look at the sacks they're giving up. You're telling me with Aaron Rodgers, they were going to be able to protect that guy? That old, with Justin Fields, you can't protect him with his athleticism. Yeah, because he holds onto the ball forever and will take bad sacks. And right now, I don't know if they have any other wide receivers besides Garrett Wilson, who can get open. Like, you're going to have to rely on his run game. I guess that's a positive. I don't think they have a passing attack right now, and they're going to have to rely on his run game to create some offense. It is not a bad contract. If it doesn't pan out, you get out of it relatively easy. My fear is that he gives you enough with an overall good roster, other than maybe the wide receiver, which they'll add to. But you still have the $35 million cap hit that's coming from Aaron Rodgers. You've guaranteed him 30. He's a mobile quarterback who doesn't have the first part of the dual threat that everybody keeps telling me he is. And he's going to come into a Jets team, win some games, because I think the roster's good enough. They won more games with Zach Wilson than they did with Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't mean they got better quarterback play. The roster's good enough. The coach should be buttoned up enough. I expect this coach to be far better than what they've had, certainly last year. They'll win 7-8 games. They'll be in the mix. You'll feel better about the team. And depending on how he plays, he might earn himself a contract and be thought of as the future quarterback of the New York Jets. And ultimately, as much as I want to see them win this year, I don't want to see them lock themselves into not being able to win in the future. And I fear that's the case. We've been talking about this for weeks. I said the same thing when it landed on him spinning the wheel, a couple weeks ago when we did the Justin Fields was one of the options when we spun the wheel for Jets quarterbacks. I just don't see it. It's not a terrible day. They're better off than they were yesterday at the quarterback position. He does have some athleticism. It's about as good an option as they had picking from what were they able to pick from. But the enthusiasm, the excitement, the unbridled joy I'm sensing from Jet fans that this was the great move to be had, I don't see it. I think the Jets now have locked themselves into hopefully a decent season, and I am fearful they are going to give him a contract like Daniel Jones, and in 2 years, that Muji is talking about the big mistake he made after initial success with the quarterback, much like Joe Shane is talking about right now. That's my fear. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. So, the best of the crappy options, but still not one that makes me feel any better about this franchise long term. Not one that makes me think that moving on from Aaron Rodgers was the right thing to do, as right now he's wanted by Minnesota, he's wanted by the Giants, he's wanted by Pittsburgh. I guess the rest of the NFL doesn't believe him to be washed like the Jet fans do. And that speaks to the Giants. We'll get to that over the course of the show, too, as they wait. As they wait for Aaron Rodgers, who clearly would rather go to a winning team. We talked about this the other day. You know, before that Geno Smith move, it felt like it was a much more logical option. Now you're waiting on Russell Wilson to Pittsburgh, and if they don't come to an agreement there, Aaron Rodgers is a great fit there. You still got Minnesota, who's moved on from Sam Darnold after he signed a long-term deal with the Seattle Seahawks. And the Giants are in flux waiting for their quarterback. And I'll tell you what, right now it sounds like it's either Aaron Rodgers or Russell Wilson. I'll give you several, and particularly one option I like better than the Russell Wilson fallback option. 888-808-1019. Mick Monagle here with you on The Fan. We'll start with the football. We will get to Garrett Cole and the ramifications. And yes, I still believe this is a playoff team. I do not believe the season is over. The New York Yankees are still one of, if not the best team in the American League. There is no reason to crawl in our beds and cry. This is still a winning team that has proven it year after year. That's right. I know what I just said. We'll get to the ramifications of how much money the reports came out, how much money the Yankees made last year, and what they could make on the insurance on Garrett Cole's contract and what it means for what this owner absolutely needs to do.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Ball game over! A perfect game! A perfect game for David Cone!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 226. McBonner here with you on The Fan. Quarterbacks, 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 the lifeblood of any organization, any team. And I understand the Jet fan is desperate for something, especially after what, unfortunately, now that they've officially moved on and not given it that third chance, was a mirage in the Aaron Rodgers, where you thought you were getting one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. He gets injured the first year. Plays, you know, relatively well, but not good enough. I think even I, you know, as much as I'm a Rodgers supporter, and I will tell you last year's numbers are still one of the better numbers a quarterback has given the Jets in a long time, I understand that down the stretch of some games, he had an opportunity to go and win football games, is what you expect and what you paid him for and what you traded him for, and he wasn't able to do it as much as you would like. He had some games where he was downright awful. He struggled to stay, you know, healthy or play through some small, minor, banged-up kind of injuries. So I know you're desperate for it, Jet fans, and this gives you at least, and I think, I'm trying to figure out why Jet fans are so thrilled with it, because I think they believe with his age and his athleticism that there is this possibility that something just clicks inside him throwing the football, and he becomes this dual threat, because he's not a dual threat now. He's not. He doesn't throw the football very well. Like, that's just the truth. Watch him. Watch his career. There were some moments, right, in his first two seasons with the Bears where he had explosive games and 80-yard touchdown runs and put up a bunch of fantasy points. But the fact of the matter is, doesn't throw the football. They recognized it. Mike Tomlin recognized it. And I think, unfortunately, Jet fans are going to come to recognize it. Now, the contract isn't a disaster. I mean, $20 million a year seems like a lot for him, but it's $30 million guaranteed. If he's bad next year, you figure out a way to get out of it. If he's good next year, at least good enough where I think he can win you some games, you know, you have him relatively inexpensive next year. At least you have him under contract next year without having to pay him again. Like, I just don't think he's the long-term answer. And I feel like Jet fans are acting like they have found a really, like, an absolute opportunity to have the next Jets quarterback for the next decade. This could be the guy. And I don't believe him to be. I don't believe him to be. I don't think he is that kind of quarterback. I think there are games where maybe his legs can take over and he'll win you a game you didn't expect to win. It's plausible. He might rush for 200 yards and put three in the end zone and win you a game against Buffalo, for example, where you're like, look at this. That might happen. But over the course of a season, over the course of these two seasons, I don't think you're going to get your answer at the quarterback position. So what scares me is he'll be just good enough to make you think it, because I just lived it as a Giant fan. I just lived 5 years of, is he good enough? Isn't he good enough? With Daniel Jones. I mean, we all just lived it. It was so sickening. Like, wherever you fell, whatever side you fell on, right? Whether you're with me, whether you're with the Bretts of Long Island or whomever else who thought Daniel Jones was great and just not given the opportunity, the offensive line of the New York Giants, blah, 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 blah. Whatever the reasoning may be, we just had how many years of Izzy, isn't he, with Daniel Jones that was so obnoxious that I really don't want to get into this for another handful of years with Justin Fields and the Jets. Because ultimately, I think it'll end up in the same place Daniel Jones ended up with. The franchise is so flawed that I still don't know, but the answer eventually had to become, isn't he? And I don't want that. Nobody should want that. I don't want that saga. He's not that guy. For this season, he's about as good as you could have hoped for. Maybe you win some games. Move on from him if you have an opportunity to get a better quarterback next year. Move on from him and go draft the future quarterback. Because whatever we want to talk about, and however flawed the draft process is, and I understand there was a topic about tanking on the afternoon show. Maybe we'll get to it. The best method is to find your future quarterback in the draft. Some teams are able to find that in later rounds. It's not unheard of, right? The greatest ever of all time was a seventh round pick. The Super Bowl champion was a second round pick. Right, I'm not saying it can't be found other places, and I still think the Jets should take swings at the quarterback position. But ultimately, you want to get one of these big prospect quarterbacks, draft them, develop them, win with them on a rookie deal. That is still the tried and true method and the best one in the NFL to go about winning. And I don't want to see the lottery ticket get in the way of that sustained process for the Jets. Winning this year is important. I've said it. I'm not backing down from that. And of all the options outside of Aaron Rodgers, this is probably the best to win this year. So on some level, I'm all about it. But I also just understand that for me, it was about having the palate cleanse. And I liked the short-term option of Rodgers where there wasn't any misconception that he was the future. I don't want to get bogged down in a long-term thing with Justin Fields because he wins 8 games next year. And everybody goes nuts because Aaron Rodgers only won 6. When they fired the coach midseason, the kicker couldn't make a kick to save his life. And they have a competent field goal kicker, a competent head coach, and figure out a way with this roster to win 8 games. And suddenly we go, we got our guy. That's my fear. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Eddie in Rockland. What's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris. What's happening, man?
What's up, buddy? Right out the gate. You're up early.
Oh, I didn't go to bed yet.
Oh, well, look at you.
I didn't go to bed yet. I'm doing the reversal.
Gotcha.
You know, sometimes you got to switch it up.
I hear you.
let's get on the situation. I got one thing on the Jets and one on the Giants.
Sure.
Basically, I look at it this way. See, you've only had the Jet pom-poms on for a while. You know, you've never really watched the Jets, right?
And no,
the
never.
And
I don't
anything like
no,
that.
Never seen the Jets before.
Okay. See, the Jets
this
fan,
last year was the only time I ever watched the Jets.
Right. The Jets fan, they like the Sam Darnold. They like the Zach Wilson. Mm-hmm. They like the Aaron Rodgers. But they don't like the Justin Fields.
I disagree with you. I think the fan base has erupted in applause for the Justin Fields signing. No?
Nah.
Oh, I disagree.
That's just an act.
That's just an act. Okay. You got the pulse of the true Jet fan, Eddie. Gotcha.
Right. I wanted the Jets to take Justin Field in the draft. I have a nickname for him, Justin the Jet Field.
Mm-hmm.
But if he sharpened up his game a little bit, like the kid from Baltimore, so he trimmed down a little bit and got a little pop on his throw. Like, I agree with you, his throw's a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
But if he can lean down and pick up some speed and be more elusive and be like a Lamar Jackson guy, I think they could work with him. And if they come out the draft with the two fastest wide receivers or tight end or wide receiver and have some pop on offense, they can get going. But let's get on your Giants.
Yeah, okay.
How does it feel to be in flux? You know, you said they have direction. They know exactly what they're going to do. Stafford, Rodgers, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. They're in flux all of a sudden, Chris. Where's your hope of Daboll?
Yeah, I don't think they're in flux at all other than who's going to be the bridge quarterback. I still think they're going to draft a quarterback at the top of the draft. I still think they're going to try and move up to number one and draft
really?
A quarterback, yes.
They were trying to reach for a quarterback before free agency,
mm-hmm.
and now free agency is here. They're not doing anything, and you don't see a problem with that?
What do you mean they're not doing anything?
They sign anybody?
No. They're waiting to see if Rodgers, they want Rodgers, and they're waiting for Rodgers to make a decision.
Really? What's the offer to Rodgers?
I'm not sure what the offer is yet. I heard that the offer was upped on Monday from where it was prior. They've made an offer to Aaron Rodgers.
How come I don't see that across the news board?
Well, I don't know. Go watch Connor Hughes on ESPN. He just did a report saying that he was told that the offer was upped on Monday. There's a video if you go on Twitter.
Right.
But,
and everybody's talking about, let me ask you one question, not about what you say, but a lot of people say if Sanders gets down to 5 or 6,
yes,
that would be the Giants passed on a quarterback, right? If Sanders gets down to 5, 6, 7, whatever.
If they didn't draft Ward, then yes, I guess it means they passed on Shedeur Sanders, yes.
Right.
I mean, that's obvious. If Shedeur Sanders I think if one of the two is there at 3, I think they will. I can't guarantee they're going to be able that Tennessee wants to or Cleveland wants to trade up or trade back rather and allow the Giants to move up. I think they're going to try like hell to do so. If they can't accomplish it and both quarterbacks are gone 1-2, I'm not putting my foot down and saying, well, then they're taking Dart or they're taking Milroe or they're taking a quarterback. That I don't believe in. But I do think they will take one of the two quarterbacks if they're. And I do think that right now they're trying like hell to sign Aaron Rodgers to a 1-year deal, maybe a 2-year deal, and draft the rookie quarterback. That is the plan right now. It's not in flux other than
right.
they're waiting
then,
for the veteran quarterback.
Can I just ask you something? You don't have to preface it. Just go ahead. You know, Justin Fields was going to be, you didn't want him, you don't like him.
Yeah.
So, and they got him.
Yes.
So you were wrong, right?
How was I wrong? I gave my opinion on what I would do with the Jets. I never said the Jets won't do it.
Right, but you would think the Jets know more than you, right?
I love it. If I don't give an exact contract, like if I don't,
who are the Giants quarterback, Chris? I give
100 opinions 5 days a week. I said I wouldn't do it if I were the Jets. I never said the Jets wouldn't do it. Do the Jets know more than me? Yeah, I suppose they're football guys. I'm not trying to say I know more. I mean, yeah, Fliegelman immediately got in my head saying, "What do you mean they know more than you? Based on what?" Like, it doesn't mean they'll be right. I could still be right. It might be a disaster with Justin Fields, and then you got to call me up and say I was right. Why are you always looking to prove me wrong? Like, why is that at the bane of your why is that, like, at the forefront of the every call you make, Eddie? You're either trying to stir up in, you know, show rivalries or intro drama at the station, or you're trying to just get me on, you're wrong. Like, I give a lot of opinions. That's my job. I'm going to be wrong from time to time. But I gave an opinion on what I think the Jets should do. I thought the Jets should have kept Aaron Rodgers. Outside of that, this is as good an option that was available to them. I just don't love it. And I disagree with your first premise that the Jet fans aren't excited about it. I think, overwhelmingly, the Jet fans are extremely excited about Justin Fields. I think they're extremely excited. I think they view it as, you know, has a fair opportunity to fail. I don't think they see it as a slam dunk. But considering the other options, he's young. He's athletic. They don't know about their offensive line. They have an athletic quarterback who can run around and avoid sacks, apparently. You know, they got someone who could be the future quarterback if it pans out. Like, I think Jet fans are extremely excited about this. I disagree with them. I think it's okay. It's probably the best option. The contract's not terrible. Sure, why not? But I'm not superly excited about it. And ultimately, I think there's a chance that even the little bit of success that might come could hamper them in the future, much like Daniel Jones hampered the Giants. And that playoff run in that road playoff game was the worst thing that happened to them. And that sucks to say because it's about winning, and I get that, but that road playoff game was a detriment to the future of the franchise. And I'm afraid Justin Fields' modicum of success might be the same. But don't get it twisted. I never said the Jets would never sign Justin Fields. I said I wouldn't. That doesn't make me right or wrong. That's just an opinion. Just an opinion. And as far as the Giants go, I can't guarantee you what they're going to do. I can't. I think their plan is to sign a bridge quarterback, a veteran bridge quarterback. They deem Aaron Rodgers to be the best. They're probably willing to do what it takes to get him, maybe up the money. We'll see. I don't think it should be a long-term contract, but maybe the money will be a little bit higher than I thought, especially now that there's a legitimate, you know, three teams. I did not think three teams would all be in on him. If he was even entertaining the talk with the New York Giants, I assumed other teams were out. I figured if he was even approaching the New York Giants, which was the report, that he approached the New York Giants, my assumption was that he got turned down approaching the Pittsburgh Steelers. But if that's a legitimate option, Pittsburgh's a more win-now team and a more suited place for Aaron Rodgers. And I'm sure that if there is, you know, they're going to have to outpay Pittsburgh to convince him to come to the Giants if Pittsburgh wants him. That's why we're all waiting to see what happens with Pittsburgh and Russell Wilson. But I think their plan is to bring in a veteran quarterback and win now on some level to appease the owner who wants things to be different and wants to feel better at the end of the season next year than he did this year, and draft and develop the young quarterback underneath the bridge, and especially someone as good as Aaron Rodgers in the Hall of Fame career that he's had. That's why it makes so much sense, to me at least. But I still think that's the plan. Now, again, so many times I've tried to tell you this, and Eddie, you just can't seem to get it through your skull. Right now, they're not in a position to guarantee themselves the quarterback. It is pretty much a two-quarterback draft as far as the top of the draft goes, in guys who can be, you know, right away, the option to start right away, or the guys they deem good enough to be franchise quarterbacks. There's two of them, and the Giants are picking third. And the two teams in front of them don't have quarterbacks. So right now, they're not in a position to guarantee themselves the quarterback. That is why they went after Matthew Stafford, in my estimation. They viewed Matthew Stafford as a very good quarterback, like the rest of us do. They were willing to pay. They were willing to forego trying to move up or hoping the quarterback falls to them at three to go get Matthew Stafford. That doesn't mean they're not interested in the quarterbacks. They just know they're not in a guaranteed position to get one. And the second Matthew Stafford went back to the Rams, all reporting indicated that the Giants immediately transitioned to try and move up to number one to make sure they could get their quarterback. I think that's the plan. Now, I can't guarantee what's going to happen on draft day, maybe they don't like Shedeur Sanders, or maybe they don't like Cam Ward. Maybe they only like one of the two, and that player gets drafted in front of them, and the other one's sitting there, and they pass. I can't guarantee it. I think they would take either one, but I know they're willing to move up to number one to take one of those two quarterbacks. We'll see what happens. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, Eddie, and you can call me up and scream it to the heavens and feel really good about yourself. Whether it's at 2 o'clock in the morning, at 4 o'clock in the morning, you call me up, Eddie. I'll always take your calls. And you can tell me that I was wrong. And it could be, you know, we could have a real, you know, sit down and then we'll go over all the things you were wrong about. Because you said they should trade down. If they don't trade down, guess what, Eddie? You're wrong. Because that's apparently how it works. Let's go to Kevin in Florida. What's up, Kev?
Yeah, Big Mac, what's going on, man?
What's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm good. I'm not going to lie. I love you guys at the radio station, but this New York football talk is just getting more and more depressing with, you know.
Well, unfortunately, the New York baseball talk ain't doing much better as of right now.
Well, that's my other question. I was just about to say, I got a baseball question that's very depressing.
Yes.
So it's rumored that Cashman's going to try to go make a trade. It seems like the most likely one is Sandy Alcantara in Miami. Who would you think is the most likely?
I don't think that's likely at all. I got to be totally honest with you. I wouldn't. Maybe at the deadline, if the team is in desperate, dire straits. Because like right now, I don't know. The Yankees traded a bunch of pitching over the last couple of deadlines and then last year for Juan Soto. They don't have a lot of pitching depth. They really, and then you look at the lineup and you have your catcher is a second year and he was third runner up in the rookie of the year. You've got your top prospect of a couple years ago playing short. Your top prospect right now, you're starting everyday left fielder. So not only have they traded a ton of prospects over the last 2 years, half the lineup is their other top prospects. So to trade for Sandy Alcantara, or Alcantara, I've heard it both ways. I got to make sure I'm saying it correctly. But if you're going to trade for a player of that caliber, it's going to take you Jason Dominguez. Like, that's the beginning. Like, it's Dominguez. So if you want to trade Dominguez, I don't think Brian Cashman is at the place right now where he wants to trade Dominguez for a starting pitcher. Like, last year, they didn't have Cole for the first half, and they had the best pitching staff in the first half of all of baseball. Like, I just don't think he's there yet. They believe in Will Warren. You know, I think they're going to wait. So I disagree with your premise that that's the most likely move. I don't see it because I don't think they have the prospect capital to trade for him right now. I just don't think they do. They don't want to give up the upper echelon to bring in a starting pitcher who had his own injury issues and really had a down year last year. As great as he is and as talented as he is, I don't see that as a fit right now. I really don't. I would think, like, to me, you're looking at signing like a Kyle Gibson who's in free agency, has had a solid career. You bring him in and you hope it sticks. Like, that's the kind of move right now. Ultimately, I was going to do this a little bit later, but Jordan Montgomery is a very interesting trade candidate to me. The owner hates him in Arizona. They want no part of his $23 million contract for this year. The Yankees are going to make approximately $27 million back from the Cole insurance. Now, his number sticks on the luxury tax. That doesn't change, but they'll get $27 million in return in the insurance that he's not going to pitch the whole year. So theoretically, they have $27 million extra dollars. That's with the luxury tax threshold they're at and how it's 100% tax, that's a $13.5 million player that they can afford to bring on, and the $27 million from Cole offsets it. Is there a way where they can make a salary dump to have Arizona eat some of the money of that contract and bring in a Montgomery? That sounds someone who's been here for the Yankees before, someone you know has been good. Last year was a weird year, came to camp late, never hit the ground running with them. That could be an option for me. But ultimately, I do not, because they're not going to want any prospects in return. They're going to just be happy to get the money off the books. I don't think the Yankees have the upper echelon to go get a Dylan Cease, to go get a Sandy Alcantara, to go get one of these prime pitching candidates. You're going to have to give up Jason Dominguez, and you already don't have a DH or a third baseman. You can't go into the season without a left fielder either. So I don't think there's a move to be made, quite honestly.
Yeah, and, you know, I agree with you. It's been, you know, talked about how the lineup and, you know, what guy's going to step up behind Judge and be the most important part. I think now the most important guy on this roster is Carlos Rodon. I mean,
yeah.
I think Carlos Rodon is going to be the make or break difference on this Yankee team this year. I really do.
Kevin, I think you absolutely nailed it, and thank you for the call. I think you're 100% right. I've seen a lot of people use Fried as the guy now who's the most important player. Obviously, Fried is important. Fried was brought here to be the second ace on the team. Now he's the ace of the team. And if he's terrible, it goes without saying. Right? That would be a disaster for the Yankees. If he's hurt or terrible, it's a disaster for the Yankees. But if he's healthy, like, I know last year wasn't his best year. He was coming back from injury. He was injury-plagued the whole year. He's had the best ERA in baseball since 2020. This is a very good, you want to call him an ace, you want to say he wasn't the ace of the staff for the Braves last year. I've seen that a lot. He was the third starter last year for the Braves. Whatever the case may be, right? Bad playoff outing, look at his playoff numbers, whatever. This guy, over the course of the regular season, when healthy, is a very good pitcher. I am not concerned about him. I expect him to be really good. Obviously, like, again, you could look at the lineup and say, well, the most important player is Judge. Well, obviously. I mean, that goes without saying. If Judge sucks, I mean, if Judge has a down year and has an 800 OPS or a 780 OPS, the Yankees are screwed. We all get that. But I take that as a granted, right? I mean, we can't point to that and say, like, that's too obvious. That's too on the nose. Like, for me, I think you're right. It's Rodon. I expect Fried to be good if he's pitching. Rodon is that guy who gets paid a lot of money, who was brought here to be that second ace before Fried was forced to be brought in here and be that second ace, because Rodon hasn't proven to be that guy. He's got to step up, as he is, without question in my mind, the most important pitcher in this rotation. Because if he reverts back to what he was his last year in Chicago and his time in San Francisco, you're talking about one of the better starting pitchers in the American League. He's capable of that. Hasn't done it with the Yankees, and I certainly can't tell you I expect that. But he's capable of it. And if he does that, and him and Fried at the top of the rotation are legitimately good, maybe not the best, but good, 1-2, that changes. If he's a legitimate number two pitcher, like a legitimate number two guy behind Max Fried, that will change this rotation and the dynamic of this pitching staff immensely. I completely agree. He is as important as anyone on this staff. And I'll tell you, I think the bullpen's very important too. I think the two names you're going to look at, and again, I could give you the closer, but I expect Williams to be really good. I think it's Weaver, and right now, until Loaisiga comes back, Hamilton. Weaver and Hamilton are going to be huge for this team. Huge. Because the bullpen is going to have to throw a lot of innings, and both of those guys are capable of multiple innings. Especially Weaver. Weaver is going to have a excellent, not as good because nobody's as good, but a 1996 Mariano Rivera type year, where he's the eighth guy, but you could argue he's the most important piece of the bullpen, where he's going to give you multiple innings on big games. He's able to do it multiple times. Like, not as dramatic as Michael King, who would come in and throw two and two-thirds and then not pitch for 3 days. Someone who's pitching more regularly than that, but also can give you an inning and two-thirds, can give you a two-innings performance here or there. Like, he is going to be enormous for this pitching staff in the absence of Gerrit Cole. Those two guys are the guys I'm looking at. The starting rotation, it's absolutely Rodon. I think there's a chance Will Warren could have a Luis Heel type season, right? He doesn't have the fastball as Luis Heel. He's not going to, I'm hopeful he can be very good, but I don't know if he's going to be the dominant force that Luis Heel was at the beginning of the year last year. But I think he could be very good, and you could see a legitimate 4-5 starter that you feel good about throwing out there against other teams' 4-5 starters with Will Warren. But as important as that is, as important as, and we'll get to who I think is going to be the fifth starter in the Cookie Carrasco versus Will Warren debate a little bit later. And, you know, as great as important as Stroman's obviously going to be, as important as Clark Schmidt's going to be, I think in the rotation, it's without a doubt Carlos Rodon is now the figure you look to, the person you look to. As he goes, so the Yankees go. If come July, you know, he's pitching to a 2.8, 2.9 ERA, I think the Yankees are fine. If he's pitching to a 3-7 to a 4-5, Yankees are in trouble. Like, I think that's I think you could look at him and determine where the team's going to go. Absolutely. Let's go to Peter and Lawrence. What's up, Pete?
Well, I got a little bit worried when Gerrit Cole went down. And then now
Stanton
going down.
No, I mean, yeah.
Do you think it's time to bring in J.D. Martinez and maybe at a left field bring in Lance Lynn?
Yeah, you know, Lance Lynn is still out there. He's had some good seasons. He's really faded as of late. I would feel probably better with a Kyle Gibson over a Lance Lynn. But those free agent signings, yeah, I wouldn't mind bringing in a guy like that. I don't know if they're going to do it right away. But I don't think it impacts the team overall that much. Like, they would have to hit lightning with one of those guys, which the Yankees have been prone to do. Like, for all the crap we give them and all the hate they get, they have been able to find, going back to Aaron Small in 2005, like, they find guys. Like, they find guys who can figure out a way to give you a solid season. They're really good with their pitching staff. That's what they're good at. They haven't been able to develop that great starting pitcher. You're hoping Luis Hill is going to be that guy now, you know, when he comes back and moving forward. But it's been a long time since they've developed a great starting pitcher. They've done better finding nobodies to become real good pieces in their bullpen. But they've also turned some starters around and had some success with them. And I wouldn't, unless Lance Lynn comes in and, you know, they find a way to make him, and he's already been a Yankee and it didn't work. That's why I'm hesitant to go Lance Lynn, because he's already been here. And it didn't work out. I don't think it was with Blake. I don't think Blake was the pitching coach yet when Lance Lynn was here, but still, I don't like retreads. So I would rather go with Gibson or if you really want to take, if you want to go with the guy who could come in here and be that guy who catches lightning in the bottle and becomes one of the top pitchers in the rotation, Sexto Sanchez would be the guy I would look at for that. I mean, he was a legitimate top prospect in all of baseball for the Marlins. It didn't work out. Now he's a free agent. He's had injury issues, but that's a guy where if they could figure out him, there was a time in his career where he was projected to be a top of the rotation pitcher. But I don't like any, you know, those options are eh. They're eh. The in-house options are what they're going to have to do with right now. And then, you know, I it's a pitcher. Here's the thing. Like, I don't think the Yankee season's dead. I know everybody wants to declare it dead, and every Met fan, or at least on Twitter, and I know that's not a representation of every Met fan or Yankee fan or human being, thankfully. Let's hope it's not. But, like, it's a pitcher who pitches every fifth day. As important as he is, they'll overcome it. Right? I think they will. They'll overcome it. The season isn't dead. Right? And you still have an ace. I think Carlos Rodon is still a good regular season pitcher. Hopefully he can even step up from what he's been the last, you know, last year. And you look at that lineup, you still have Judge in it. And I think you're getting, like, right now, how many, you know, Wells is having a great spring. Bellinger is having a great spring. Goldschmidt just went oppo to oco today. Like, I think the offense has a legitimate chance to be far better than people suspect. It has a chance to be awful, too. It has a chance to really get a lot of the negative answers, right? Volpe doesn't make a step up. Wells isn't what he was last year. Dominguez never gets off the ground because he can't play the outfield. You know, Goldschmidt's old and washed like everybody says he is. You know, Jazz doesn't fit, you know, doesn't do what he did when he first got traded over last year. Like, it can go both ways. There's no doubt. There's a lot of let's hope and find out. There's not a ton of, you know, this guy is going to be great. There's Judge. But I do think the offense, I'm pretty sure Bellinger gives you at least a level of play that you can count on. But I look around the rest of the American League, I don't think they're far better than the Yankees. I still think the Yankees might have the second best pitching staff starting rotation in the division behind the Red Sox, you know, with the injury. The Pocota projections, for whatever that's worth, still has them as, even with the Cole injury, has them as the most wins in the American League. They are still the betting favorite to win the American League. And I'm like some crazy pom-pom waving, you know, shill for saying they could still be a playoff team when 40% of the league makes the playoffs and the betting favorite to come out of and go back to the World Series is the New York Yankees, but I'm like some sort of pom-pom waving lunatic. You guys are crazy. No one's stamping a World Series appearance. No one's stamping a World Series title. This team, as long as Aaron Judge is healthy, is still a playoff team. And the idea we want to call it off, the idea we want to sell off pieces, the idea that, hey, let's just get ready to trade Bellinger, trade whoever, you know, is not tied down and get ready for next year, it is still about winning a championship this very season. Can they do it? I don't know. Are they good enough as presently constituted? I would say no. But they're still up until the trade deadline to improve this team, and we don't know what kind of season. Let's see the season play out. Let's see the season play out. I still think they're good enough to be a playoff team, and I still think they have the opportunity to get good enough to be a World Series caliber team. But it's a devastating blow, not a death blow. I think we've gone a little cuckoo. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Update. McMonagle here with you. I got you for another 2 hours. We'll still take your quarterback calls. The rest of the going-ons in the NFL. The Giants sign a cornerback, among other pieces. Jets obviously bring in their quarterback, lose an offensive lineman, make some other signings. So there was other going-ons inside the NFL. The Giants are waiting for the decision of Aaron Rodgers. And apparently, Deanna Rossini is claiming that the entire league waits for what Daniel Jones is going to do. Why?
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's A-L-M-A-S-E-D.com.